In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. When we come to the end of a person's life on this earth, especially one we hold dear in our heart, one we call husband or father, one we call uncle or grandfather or neighbor or friend, we, of course, bring our sadness at losing one we've loved and known so very well. And in the case of Eugene, we lose a man with a golden heart, a man who loved and loves his family, a man who loved and loves his church, a man who always loved and loves neighbor and stranger, a man who loves God, and of course was and is loved by God. And it is this love of God that formed and informed Eugene's heart, informed and formed his whole very life. The love of God informed how he lived, and this love of God informed how Eugene died. And it's a love with a very particular sacredness throughout Gene's illness, from when he was first diagnosed, as it progressed and as he fought it back and it progressed and he fought it back and it progressed and through his last days on this earth. It was his faith in and love for God that sustained him. You know, from his own prayers to the prayers of those around him to the receiving of the holy sacraments, whether at home or on the occasions he did have the strength to make it to church, having gospel and other scripture passages read to him by his bedside, to singing his favorite hymns and prayers, even in his last days of life when breath was at a premium. The advancing cloud of death could not make Eugene's love of God grow cold. And because the face of Jesus Christ was forever engraved on his golden heart, his faith remained warm and light. And for Gene, the love of God forms the love he has for his family and the love that Gene so obviously has for you, Royanne, and for his church. And for Eugene, this love, it's not just a feeling. It's not just some sentimental thought alone. It's not something that he just kept inside for himself. His love was an action, a way of life. I want to share just one example right now. You know, God bless Gene with some musical talent. And I remember on more than one occasion him sharing it with others. He would appear, for example, at Vacation Bible School here at the church and offer to play some songs for the kids on guitar. And always desperate for help, we were certainly not going to turn that down. And so Gene would sit outside on a chair with his guitar on his knee and the kids gathered around and he'd start strumming and the kids sat in a circle on the green grass. And Gene may not have been the world's most accomplished guitarist, but he'd play with heart some church camp songs or some old spirituals, and the little kids would either sing along if they knew the song, or just kind of rock back and forth. The littlest ones would just kind of rock back and forth like little kids do to music. Yeah, but it changed them. It brought some light to them, and music has a way of doing that. I mean, even the naughty kids would stop throwing grass at each other when the music got rolling. You know, the music made a difference. Gene's love of God was put into action by sharing music with children. And actually, it wasn't just church kids. Michelle would come home from the farmer's market, and she'd say, "Guess who I saw at the farmer's market?" You know, wives do that to husbands. Guess, I don't know. And she'd say, "It was Eugene Fall. He was just sitting there strumming on his guitar for all the people passing by." And some would walk by and smile. Some people would stop and listen for a while, gather in little groups with perfect strangers and smile with each other. And that's not something a person has to do. You know, that's love. That's something that comes from the heart. And in Gene's case, comes from his love of God expressed by loving his neighbor. And here it was expressed through simply playing music and making people happy for a while and drawing people together. And I don't think there's anything on earth that brings diverse people together faster than music does. And this was something that was dear to Gene's heart, people being more united. You know, all the divisions in the world today, whether it's political or social media or race or class or religion or I don't know what, but all the divisions that you and I are very keenly aware of, the way we have lost the ability to really hear each other and hear what's in each other's heart. This was very distressing to Gene, this division. How we feed ourselves with how we're different from each other instead of seeing how we're alike and what unifies us. And for Gene, this was both a sad and a preventable squandering of the love of God. And so if he could bridge that for just a few minutes by playing his guitar for a group of strangers at a farmer's market, well, that was his joy. That was his joy. It was a way he expressed his love for God. But his love wasn't just expressed in ways that were public and on like a sunny afternoon. You know, Eugene loved the hard love too. He loved the hard love too. A love of God that brings very little glory in this world sometimes. Most of you know Gene was a social worker for many years. And that, brothers and sisters, is a difficult and noble and God-loving job. One in which you don't often see the rewards of the seeds you hope you planted, at least not in this life necessarily. To get a call in the middle of the night that a child needs immediate egress from a dangerous situation in the home. And he and Roy Ann would drive to a dwelling in the middle of the night to give transportation for a child to a safer location. You know, there's very little earthly glory in that. There's no civic recognition. You don't get the key to the city. There's no immediate gratitude even from the people involved. They're in chaos. And you just go in and you do your job because you know it's the right thing to do. And yet to be able to bring this light of Christ, this love of God, this breath of the Holy Spirit into our darkest of situations with very little earthly reward, that's love. That's the hard love. That's not the sentimental love. That's the hard love. That's the love of God in action. Because when light enters darkness, light always wins. And when the love of God enters the brokenness of this world, the love of God always wins. Because love never ends. So then what about today? What about today? What about the face of death itself? Where is this love that never ends as we come today and gather to say goodbye, to grieve, literally to bury a good and loving man, a man who has been taken from us by a dreaded illness in spite of a valiant battle, taken by death itself? Where is the light that always wins? And what happens to the light of this man who loves Christ? With our sin, with our brokenness, with our divisions, with our rebellion, with these things comes death. That's the natural result of sin. Death is the natural result of sin. But God cannot stand to see his creation suffer only to die. In fact, God can't see his creation rejoice and celebrate only to die. No matter what our life on earth is, God finds the end being death. He finds that unacceptable. Death cannot have the final word. So God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to take on all of our humanity that we might be healed, that we might be healed. Anything God touches is sanctified. I mean, that's a basic definition of the universe. What God touches is sanctified. When God became flesh, our flesh was sanctified. When God entered the waters of baptism in the person of Jesus Christ, creation, his world was sanctified. And when Jesus hungered, and when he was betrayed, and when he was abandoned, and when he was tortured, you know, suffering itself became sanctified because God in the person of Jesus Christ was willing to touch that with his very life. And then when Jesus accepts death on the cross, death itself is touched by God. And by his resurrection, Jesus destroys the power of death once and for all. Now, yes, we still die in this body of ours. But in Christ, this death is not the end. It doesn't have the last word. As we heard in both of our readings today, Christ will return and call the dead, and those who are in the graves will hear his voice, and those who hear will live. we will discover on that day that everything good in us, everything good in Eugene, will have been preserved and sanctified and be given a new and more glorious and eternal life. You know, our bodies that are broken in this world will be raised spiritual bodies which can never fail, which won't get sick, which won't suffer. All the goodness that made Eugene, that'll be raised, and that'll be glorified, and that will be sanctified. The love of God in his heart will be magnified 1,000-fold. The family will be reunited, and his music will be returned. And finally, what about those acts of sacrificial love that may have brought very little glory on earth, or perhaps sometimes even went unnoticed? Because they are love. They are love, a love that came from a golden heart and a love that was inspired by God himself and a love of a very particular sacredness. Well, perhaps these more than any will be glorified before the face of God forever. Amen.